you are holy in all of your ways. And I will sing for the rest of my days. My soul sings hallelujah. My heart cries hallelujah. I will proclaim hallelujah. All of my days, hallelujah. Mighty are the works of your hands. Creation cries out to you. Glory to the God who reigns. I will lift up my voice to you. Yes, you are holy in all of your ways. And I will sing for the rest of my days. Yes, you are holy in all of your ways. And I will sing for the rest of my days. My
good to be back here. It was a while ago, and I enjoyed fellowshipping with you. And thank you for the opportunity to be invited back. I thought I had bored you enough to not invite me back, but I didn't do a good job at that, did I? So here we are. I bring you greetings from our wife, who is working at this moment. That's why she's not here with us. She would have loved to be here. The last time I was here, I made reference to a scripture casually And I remember quoting from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I left it there. It wasn't a scripture that I was going to deal with. And I remember being asked a question about the next verse, which says, who do not walk after the flesh, but in the spirit. And it's kind of haunted me. And I was thinking I should respond to that in the sermon. But I didn't feel the tick from God to do that. So I've been wrestling with God and would like to share with you something different. But towards Easter, I realized also the fact that I wouldn't be here next week. But God was saying this, which I'd like to share with us. The fact that we are under a new management. When we become Christians, we go under a new management. Previously, we are managed in a different way. But when we become Christians, then we are managed differently. And that's what I have come to realize, my walk with God, which I take very, very seriously. A gracious Lord, now is the hour. Speak to us. Speak to us from your word in such a way that we would understand and take it in completely. Let your anointing this morning break the yoke and unburden your people and set captives free by means of your presence, and confirm the proclamation of your word today. Lord, we ask that you would breathe upon us the breath of life, new life, freshness, a stirring, an urge in our hearts and lives, so we will be all the more determined to go all out for you. Lord, I ask for grace to speak on your behalf alone that which you would say to us this morning. That praise and glory and honor might be yours again and again. For we ask in Jesus Christ, the inexhaustible Lord and Savior of our souls, and for his name's sake. Amen. I would like to share a little scripture with you. Again, I'm fond of Paul's epistles, and I'll share a verse with us this morning. But when we talk about new management or being under new management, you would agree with me that Paul is better prepared to bring something in light of that. Because he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Benjamite, a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day. And Paul will say in Philippians chapter 3, I count all that rubbish for the surpassing knowledge of Christ. And then in his old age, in his frailty, Paul would say, for example, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death. For Paul, he wished he could undo what he had done. He understood the concept of being under a new management, being under construction, as it were. So I would say no one was more able to reflect on that transformation than Paul, who switched from a persecutor of Christ to a proclaimer of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5, for example, he was in Christ, a phrase Paul used repeatedly in his epistles to speak of a believer's spiritual relationship to Christ. Because he believed the message of the gospel and was identified by faith with Christ. I like quoting from Paul, as I said from the beginning. In Galatians, Paul would say, I am crucified with Christ. And that means a lot. It's a whole sermon on that. And I'm not going to go into that. Adrian Rogers said, when I first got saved, I learned about Jesus in the Bible. And that was wonderful to me. And then as I began to live the Christian life, I would see Jesus, or rather I would see what Jesus would do in the lives of other people. And I saw Jesus in history and Jesus in action, and that was wonderful. And then as I studied more, I began to learn about Jesus in heaven, ruling and reigning from his throne. And that was wonderful. But I've learned a great truth. And that is that Jesus is in the Bible. And Jesus is in history. And Jesus is in heaven. But here's the great truth. Christ lives in me. He has possessed me, he says. I am his purchased possession, and therefore I am under new management. Can I say then that I used to belong to the devil? I used to be under his management. I used to be under his rule. But when Jesus got hold of my life, I came under a different management. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll be reading from verse 12 following. I'm reading from the New King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 following. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 17 will be my text. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word of God belongs in our hearts. There is a tendency to read the word of God, close the Bible, put it aside, and that's it. Sufficient for the day thereof is to read a portion of scripture, which I have done today. I know somebody who challenges me. He reads not less than 10 chapters of the Bible a day. But that's not meant to scare you if you haven't started as yet. And as I tell my friends, wherever I preach, the fact that the Chinese have a proverb, the journey of 1,000 miles, that's what? Starts with one step, isn't it? So don't begin to walk when you are just crawling. We are all at different stages. And if you were listening to the reading, you notice that Paul says something regarding the way we look at each other. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You ask the question, why do we like holding on to things? Why do we like to challenge change, as it were? By the way, did you know that God is the God of change? It was the same Paul who said, he's changing us from one degree of glory on to the other. Right. If I wanted to give you something, I'm going to pick on you now. But don't panic. After all, it's your birthday, isn't it? Well, you've got something in your left hand. Please keep holding on to that. Now, if I give this to you to hold with your left hand, would it be possible? Would it be possible? Okay. Now, I'm going to pinch your bag. Now, if I give that to you to hold with your left hand, can you do that? Why can't you do it?
It's full.
It's full. That's the lesson. The problem with a Christian is that we are clutching stuff. We are holding on to things. So God can't give us more, even though he's waiting to give us more. If we would let go, the church here would not be the same. It would be filled up. People will be looking forward to the next service and they want to come running in. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I asked a question the other day. I noticed that in churches around, they tend to sing, that is, if they sing hymns, they tend to sing four hymns. I don't know if you've noticed that. And I asked, why four hymns? Why four songs? Can someone help me here? Is it written anywhere in the Bible to sing only four hymns? So why four hymns? Let's say it. Why four hymns? Thank you very much. You said it. I didn't say it. So don't come blaming me after the service. Tradition. We hold on to it. We don't want to change. You see the point? Shall I finish and sit down now? If anyone is in Christ, he is what?
Creation.
A new creation. And what else? It doesn't stop there, does it? The old has gone, has passed away. Did you just say that? Did you just quote that scripture? Is that true of you? Let me ask you. I'm not looking at you. You think about it for a minute. Is it true of me? Has the old passed for me? Has the new arrived? I'd like to make 3 points as we unpack this verse. This passage is talking about the beginning of life in Christ. What does it mean? It means to be in Christ is to be a new creation. Your features will be the same. Your outlook will be the same. But you'll be new inside. The beginning of life in Christ. This is a life sentence of a long haul. When people look at me, who do they see? Do they see me or Christ? The awareness of His presence in our lives. The awareness, the knowledge of it. Is He in my life? It's not enough to sing 4 hymns. It's not enough to lift up our left hands or to jump up and down. The awareness of His presence in our lives must dictate the way we do things. And I also submit to us that this means the devotion to His person for life. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A life sentence, I'm His. I like quoting old hymns anyway, and I'm going to quote one. The old hymn says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. However, love and trust Him in His presence daily live. That means a lot. Living in the presence of Jesus is so powerful. It means I can't say things that I can say here and now. See, there are things we would never dare say here. Okay? But when we walk away from here, we feel we are at liberty to say them, don't we? We don't look at things on the net or go to websites. We don't have to go to. Because of who? Because of Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul uses that expression a lot. In Christ is a phrase Paul loves. It's replete in Ephesians epistle, for example. In him, we have redemption through His blood. In Him. The beginning of life in Christ is the willing positioning of our lives. Here I am, holy and available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. That's the first point I want to make. He died that we might live. This is the positive aspect of our identification with Christ. We know that we not only died with him, but we also were raised with him, that we might walk in newness of life. Because we have died with Christ, we can overcome sin. And because we live with Christ, we can bear fruit for God's glory. My life is to bear fruit for his glory. My life is, that Paul said, to live for him who died for me. He died in order that I might live. He died that we might live through him. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Church, we need to live through Christ. We need to live such that the world will see Christ in us. Not everybody reads the Bible today, but they can read us on the streets, in our workplaces, and they will see Christ in us. They will hear Christ speak through us. I yearn for that. I yearn to see that. And God yearns to see that. Let us resolve. My brothers and sisters, let us resolve today to live such that he will be glorified. And that word means he would be magnified. He will be visible to the world. Someone said, our actions should declare him. And if it becomes necessary, we should use words. Someone said, actions speak louder than words. The reason people don't want to know God, about God or whatever, is because of the way some of us have lived. Can I quote Paul again? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul means that when he ever died, it was gain. Because it's promotion. He said it in Corinthians, didn't he? 1 Corinthians. In 1858, Francis Ridley, Havergal, visited Germany with her father, who was getting treatment for his afflicted eyes. While in a pastor's home, she saw a picture of the crucifixion on the wall with the words under it, I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me? Quickly she took a piece of paper and wrote a poem based on that motto. But she was not satisfied with it. So she threw the paper into the fireplace. The paper came out unharmed. Later, her father encouraged her to publish it. And we sing it today to a tune composed by Philip P. Bliss. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given me? So the first point is that this scripture is talking about the beginning of life in Christ. Secondly, it's talking about the arrival of the new life. We are not waiting for it. It's here now. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come. Now, when you analyze the text, you realize that Paul would be using the aorist tense in the language, in the Greek he's using here. And aorist would indicate that the thing has happened, the action has taken place already. This new creation is brought about by the Holy Spirit, the agent of regeneration. So he applies it to me. Can I share my testimony of conversion? When I was about 5 years, the Holy Spirit struck me. I was in the company of other children, just like this. We had come from church. It was very sunny in Africa, of course. The children were discussing death and judgment, and the Holy Spirit struck me. I broke down and wept sore. I couldn't be consoled. But that was the turning point in my life. I had said earlier on, I was taken to a Presbyterian church, and whenever they sang, they played the hymns, something happened to me. As a child, I didn't understand, but now I know that God's hand was on my life all this while. But that fateful afternoon, I broke down. I shared my experience with my mom later on as an adult, and mom said, "Yes, son, I noticed a change in your life from that day." A five-year-old child. That's what God can do. And I've never looked back. Thank God for godly parents, Pentecostal, tongue-speaking, spirit-filled parents. My mom is still alive. Dad has gone to be with the Lord. If you doubt my testimony, I will let you ring her after the service. The Holy Spirit, the agent of regeneration and the giver of divine birth. God's new creative work began in each one who believes in Christ. And will one day be consummated. That is, it will one day be made complete and on a universal scale. The new life of devotion to Christ means that one has new attitudes and actions. These days I'm learning a lesson. When I do something, especially when it's difficult, when I don't want to do it naturally, I say, "Lord, I'm doing this because of you. I'm doing this for you. Lord Jesus, I do this for you. I do it for you." And I'm learning more and more to say that. I'm doing it for you. When I'm mistreated, "Lord, I receive it all for you. I receive the insults for you. I receive the pain and rejection for you." If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old has passed. The new has come. The essence of Easter is for Christ to bring the new and to help us part with the old. Hey, those things we are clutching, let go. God wants to give you something greater, something newer. Let's quit behaving like the crab. You know, crabs are always like that. Let's let go. Let's let God. When we sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise." Let's mean each word. Let's mean each word we sing. the arrival of the new life. I want to be endowed with a new life. I want to be seen living the new life. I don't want to do church like my dad did it. At 6, I was already drumming in the church. I was involved. My parents were church planters. I don't want to do it like them. God has called me, and He has called me differently. And God is always doing a new thing. Read Isaiah 43, for example. I'm doing a new thing, a new beginning. God is a God of renewal. He wants to move us forward. Let's not be entrenched in the old ways. This is how we've always done it. We've never done it that way before. Have you heard that expression before? We've never done it that way before. If we let go, the God who is the head of the church would do it His way, here and now. He would do it relevantly. He would do it refreshingly. He would do it revivingly. The arrival of the new life means a new perception of God. The way I perceive God, the way I see Him. A new attitude towards God's word. So the way I see God and the way I see His word. I come from the school which believes in the literal word of God. I don't argue with people who would say the Bible contains the word of God. For me, the Bible is God-breathed, is the word of God. And when I go there, I meet God, I encounter God. That's why I have to read it daily. I read it before coming here, just to be sure that I've read it. Now, he reads many chapters, several chapters a day. Because all things have become new, we also have a new view of people around us. We see them as sinners for whom Christ died. We no longer see them as friends or enemies, customers or co-workers. We see them the way Christ sees them, as lost sheep who need a shepherd. When you are constrained by the love of Christ, you want to share His love with others. The reason I preach is because the love of Christ constrains me. And when I got called, God gave me a scripture I've kept all these years. Woe is me, 1 Corinthians 9:16. If I preach not the gospel, for necessity is laid on me. I would have stopped preaching if I didn't have a love relationship with Him. I love Him who died for me. Do you love Him too? Christ died that we might live through Him and for Him. The message of Easter is that Christ died that I might live through Him. That is, by means of Him, without Him, I can't live. And because I'm living by means of Him, I live for Him. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he says also, it is He who is at work in me, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Finally, my third point is the departure of the old life. When I am a Christian, the old ways are gone. The old habits are gone. But habits die hard, don't they? And I jokingly say, the first cup of tea of the day must come at a certain time. And the usual place. If it's one sugar in it, it's one sugar. It must come. Some people like it, like I like it, as it comes. But some people like it very light. I don't know how you like it. But for some, it's a cup of coffee, strong coffee. It's a habit. Without it, their life isn't complete. Can I make a suggestion? Our lives are incomplete without Jesus. If it's not in, then life is not worth living. The old ways must go. The old abusive ways must go. The old ways of perceiving things must go. The old ways of understanding things would have to give way. Because Christ has come in. He has come in to shovel out the old. The departure of the old life. The old life of slavery to self and sin has gone. That's what it means. Old perceptions are discarded, as I've said. Old regimes are put away. Old idols are rejected. See, I do things in a certain way. I like my coffee in a certain way. It doesn't necessarily glorify God, does it? Coffee or no coffee, God is God. Right? Old idols. When we talk about idols, we think of the heathen. We think of the people in Africa. We think of the people in Asia. But I've come to realize that there are many idols here. Many we don't see with our naked eyes. Our habits. Some habits are idols. Why do you think you shop at Asda's all the time? In a particular one. Have you thought about it? For some, it's Tesco's. Well, of course, we can justify the club points. Like I have the card in my pocket. This morning before I came here, I was looking for petrol, and I wanted to go to Tesco's. That's because of the club points. I don't know if you are like me, but I am confessing my sins now. So I'm being set free. See? Hallelujah. The old has gone. Has the old really gone? The old has gone. The old must be let go off. We ought to surrender to Him this Easter. Let Christ have sway over our lives. Let Him renew us. Let Him fill us afresh. He needs to be the manager. He needs to be the boss. Remember, we are under new management. Can we pray now, please? I don't know what's on your mind, what's on your heart now. I don't know what you want to say to God. But please go ahead, my sister. Go ahead, my brother, and say to the Lord, Holy Spirit, move now. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Confirm your word in our hearts, in our lives. Go of the old ways, the inappropriate ways, the unbiblical ways, the ungodly ways. Help us to let go of the traditions of men and to be set free. For if Son shall set you free, your word says, you shall be free indeed. Set us free, Lord, today. Set us free, Lord. Set us free, Lord. Set us loose, Lord. Set us loose in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be your people through and through. Shed your light upon our lives. Let shed your anointing upon our lives. Let your anointing break the yoke. For that is what your word says. Let your anointing break the yoke, Lord. And be glorified again and again in our lives. Bless everyone who has ministered today. We pray that, Lord, everyone who has heard your word today will be touched in a unique and peculiar way, relevant to their situation. Bless every worker here. Bless those who have celebrated their birthdays as well. Bless the younger ones as well as the older ones, Lord. Walk us through this life, we pray, Lord Jesus. Walk us through this life according to your way alone. May we be Christians filled with your spirit, determined to glorify you wherever we are. Hear us, Lord. For herein we stand with our prayers. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, hear us, we pray. Amen.